It has been quite a four-week stretch at First Baptist for just special things and things that are happening. We've got one more this afternoon that I'm anxious for each one of us to get to be a part of. Always a fun time, and I'll tell you about that a little bit at the end of the service. But if you'll remember, 3 weeks ago, we started out with a Pack the House Sunday. We encourage you to invite your friends and people you know and neighbors. Encourage them to come and be a part of this special place and this special thing that happens with Pack the House. Then the very next week was Easter, which is the number one attended church Sunday of the year, even more so than Christmas. And then the very next week, which was last week, we kicked off a week of revival. I hope each of you enjoyed that last week, and having a special speaker in, and Tobin did such a great job. I've had a great number of you. I know you were an encouragement to him, but a good number of you have said to me, hey, he is really just a genuine guy. And I think that's the thing that makes Tobin such a spectacular pastor and a spectacular leader, and what made him a great youth pastor. He really is a great guy. But when I think about the fact that we went through all of those things, I can't help but think this week, as I was preparing for Sunday morning, what now? We've been through Pack the House, and we've been through Easter, and we've been through revival, and then today, what now? I couldn't help but think, as I was thinking about it this week, and I think about things that have happened in life, and at those times when you transition from one place to another. I may have told some of you this story before, but I remember for Christy and I, when we got married, of course, you have all the planning that leads up to it, and the invitations, and all the people, and all of those things, and I really wasn't nerve-wracked at all. Leading up to the whole thing, I was in good shape. I remember even before we walked up from the fellowship hall where I was before the wedding, and myself and the minister walked up, and we kind of stopped on this little landing, and then we went up, and I was still good there. And when they opened the doors and I saw all the people, it was just like somebody just poured butterflies on me. I was nervous all over. But we go through the ceremony, and you have the songs that you know, and you go to the reception, and you get to meet all the people, and you have the cake, and you have all of the things that you do. And then when we got all finished, we headed out. Now, Christy and I were headed to Padre Island for our honeymoon. That's where we were when I proposed to her, and so we decided we would go back there. But that first night when we finished, we were going to drive to Wichita Falls, Texas, and spend the night in Wichita Falls, and then get up the next morning and drive to Dallas and fly out to Padre. But I remember for us, when you head out of Altus, just about 30 miles south of Altus is a town called Vernon, Texas. Christy and I had been married. We'd gone through all of the stuff, and we start our way out, and we're excited. We're just brand new newlyweds, like brand new newlyweds, just an hour or two ago. And we get just almost to Vernon, and we get started talking about how things are different. They're just different. When we come back to Altus, it'll no longer be going to your mom and dad's house or your mom and dad's house, because that won't be our house anymore. We have a new life. We got to talking about it, and in just a minute, we got to crying. I had to pull over, and we stopped on the side of the road. I bet I could go back to that place within 100 yards today, because we got to thinking about how exciting everything was when you lead up to that marriage time. But then, for those of you that have been there, you can't help but stop and think, whew, what now? Now what? It's kind of that same thing when you get to graduation. You always look forward to that high school graduation until it's time to graduate, and then you think, what now? I can't help but think that's what the people in the scriptures were thinking right after Easter. Now, I can't help that they were thinking that on Friday night of Good Friday when Jesus was crucified, that they thought, what now? But then when Jesus was resurrected on Easter Sunday morning, I can't help but think that they thought, what now? But then this morning, we see that we rock along just a little bit, and I think then they thought, what now? Again, after Jesus was resurrected, many of you will be familiar with it. If you want to turn in your Bibles, the story's in Luke chapter 24, and we'll pick up there in just a little bit. But Jesus was walking along after he was resurrected, before everybody kind of realized what had happened. Jesus was walking along on the road to Emmaus, and he met two guys, and they were discussing and kind of having a pretty good discussion. And Jesus said to them, what are you guys talking about? And they said, hey, have you not heard? And he said, well, have I not heard what? And they said, well, about Jesus of Nazareth, that he was crucified, and now they say he is risen. And they're going through this whole story here, and they're explaining all of this to Jesus. And it's interesting that they don't figure out who Jesus is. And we pick up the story in verse 30. It says, as he reclined at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then, verse 31, then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he disappeared from their sight. So they said to each other, weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scripture? That very hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those with them gathered together, who said, the Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then, verse 35, then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. I got to tell you this, it's interesting in this story. Two or three times it says then. I would tell you, first thing you need to know is that then always comes after. You never start a sentence with then when nothing else has happened before it. You never start a story with, hey, I couldn't start the story about then we pulled over and cried if I hadn't told you what had happened before leading up to the story that brings us to the what now. It's always the then comes after something else. In verse 31, it says, then their eyes were opened. What was it that caused their eyes to be opened? Certainly it was the Lord, but at the same time, it was that he sat down to do the Lord's Supper. He broke bread and he began to teach them the scriptures, and then it dawned on them, hey, there's something special, and all of a sudden it clicked. You ever been around somebody that you meet them and you know you recognize them and you know you've met them before, but you just can't remember when until they say or they do something, and all at once it clicks in your mind, oh yeah, I know you from. That's these guys. That's where they were. When Jesus began to talk about the scriptures and when Jesus broke the bread and did the Lord's Supper, I think then it registered to them, hey, this is Jesus. And it says immediately he was disappeared and gone. In verse 32, they said, isn't it amazing that our hearts were ablaze within us, that as he was talking with us and as he was explaining the scriptures to us. I think it's interesting for us that their eyes were opened after basically the Lord's Supper, that he broke bread and he had dinner with them. But then that they listened to Jesus and that they understood the scriptures, that their eyes were opened. Look what it says in verse 45. It says, then he opened their minds. Now verse 44 tells us, he said, that Jesus said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. You see, he opened their minds. Then they began to understand all of the things that he had prophesied or that someone else had prophesied. One of the Old Testament prophets, the things that were written in the scriptures, those things were being fulfilled at that very moment when it opened their minds. It was a fulfillment of scripture. But look at verse 47. It's or verse 46. It says, he also said to them, this is what is written, the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That was the prophecy. They began to see that Jesus was fulfilling the scriptures. And then in verse 47, it gives a prophecy for us. And repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are the witnesses of these things. You see, that's the prophecy about us. Jesus fulfilled his prophecy in that he was crucified and that he died and that he rose from the dead, all to fulfill prophecy. But for us, it also says there's prophecy that we're involved in, that we're to make his name known among all the people of the earth. I never really thought about that. That's pretty fascinating that Jesus got to fulfill scripture, but for us, hey, we get to fulfill scripture as well if we'll be faithful and obedient to share the good news with people. It says, what is ours? Our prophecy is that there would be repentance of sins, And that God's name would be proclaimed to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Now you look at verse 49, and it's kind of a transition. It says, and look, I'm sending you what my Father promised. As for you, stay in the city until you are empowered from on high. Now let me ask you a question. What was promised? What Jesus is talking about is the promise of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus must leave so the Holy Spirit can come. Jesus says, but stay in Jerusalem until you have become empowered. That's why it's so important for us to spend time with the Lord every day and to be involved in the church on a regular basis. Now, in our world, we understand what regular is defined at is changing all the time. Used to be involved in your church on a regular basis meant like 4 Sundays a month. Now it means once every 6 weeks. But for us, if we want to understand the Lord and to fulfill the prophecy that's been prophesied about us, to be involved and continue to know Him is a significant thing for each one of us. Look what it says in verse 50 through 53. I think this is another one of those times that they had to stand back and go, now what? Look at verse 50. It says, then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple complex praising God. Can you imagine at the point that Jesus was crucified, all the people that had been followers of Jesus at that point would just sit back and go, okay, now what? What now? What are we going to do? The guy that we've been following, the guy that we've committed our lives to, the guy that we thought was the Messiah, that guy just died. What now? And then Jesus is resurrected, and Jesus comes back to life, and I can't help but they didn't think, but what now? And then just a very short time later, they're all out there, and Jesus blesses them, and then Jesus just begins to ascend into heaven and into the clouds, and he's gone. I can't help but think that they didn't stand there and go, what now? Again. You see, I think some of us live in a what now world. Some of us experience what now on a monthly basis or on a weekly basis, and some of us experience it on a daily basis, and some of us experience it sometimes on an hourly basis, 3 or 4 times a day. I think it's important when we go through those what now times, what now, what next? The key is that we're plugged in and have a good connection with the Lord to be able to know what it is the Holy Spirit guides us to do as Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came. I think it's interesting in these verses. Look at the first thing that happens. It says, the first thing that happens is, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried into heaven after worshiping him. You see, I think it's always interesting. If you'll stop and think about the places where God's blessed you, it naturally leads to worship. We have a tendency to only think of the negative things. You ever stop and think, you know the old song, count your many blessings? Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what the Lord has done. You ever stop and think in those down times, do you ever stop and think and look back at all the things that God has blessed you in your life? I got to tell you, I've had some tough days. I've had some things happen to me or things said about me or things done to me or things that didn't work out the way that I wanted them to, that you can't kind of help but get the doldrums. But you know, even when things are going bad and you're sitting there going, what next? If you'll stop and count your blessings, it naturally leads to praises, because the truth is, all of us are blessed beyond what we deserve. True? We all are. But sometimes we forget to count those blessings, but those blessings lead to praise. They lead to worship. Look what it says. After worshiping him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I would tell you this. I think as much as blessing leads to worship, I think worship leads to joy. I got to tell you, it is not like pulling teeth for me on Sunday morning. I really enjoy coming to church. Now, one of the reasons for that is because I get to preach every Sunday. I enjoy it. It's what God's gifted me to do. It's one of my spiritual gifts. But I got to tell you, I really, really enjoy the time before we ever get to the preaching. I just enjoy the worship. I just enjoy being in your presence. And one of the reasons that's so significant is because the Bible says that when we're gathered together, not only are we in each other's presence, but that we're in the Lord's presence. I just like being at church. It just brings joy to my life. I believe blessing leads to worship, and I believe worship leads to joy. And then look what it says. That they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple complex praising God. I think joy naturally leads to praising, because I think the happier we are, the more we have an understanding of all the places where God has blessed us. It's interesting when you think back. In 1983, Lauren Whitehead wrote an article in the American Journal of Physics about the domino chain reaction. All of you have seen those things probably at one time or another. As a kid, you set up the dominoes and you make that kind of maze thing that they fall in. You get to see some of them on TV in different places sometimes that are really extravagant. Now, I never built any like that, but as far as kind of line them up, maybe make a turn or do something with them, hey, we all know that. But this guy began to research it, and what he discovered is for every domino that falls, it can knock over another domino that's 1.5 times its size. So a 2-ounce domino or 2-inch domino can knock over a 3-inch domino. A 3-inch domino can knock over a 4.5-inch domino. Does that make sense to you? It can knock over a time and a half bigger than it is. The reason I think that's so significant to us is when we think about blessing leading to worship and worship leading to joy and joy leading to praise, I think it's kind of a domino reaction. It just continues to grow. You see, we don't think that much about the fact that a 1-inch domino could knock over an 1.5 inches or a 2-inch domino can knock over a 3-inch. But when we think in terms of blessing and worship to joy and joy to praise, I would tell you this, at the 18th domino, you could knock over the Leaning Tower of Pisa. I guess that's not that impressive because it's already leaning. But what's really fascinating to me when you think about how it grows at the 23rd domino, if you stacked up a domino and a 1.5 times, 1.5 times, 1.5 times, at 23, you could knock over the Eiffel Tower. At 28, you could knock over the Empire State Building. 28. You see, I think it's that way for us with praise and joy and worship. They just all feed each other, and it just gets greater and greater and greater and greater. And sometimes we have a tendency to think, why is it that that does for them and it doesn't for me? I'm going to tell you, because have you ever noticed if you get one domino out of place, it kills the whole chain? Have you ever noticed if you get one domino out of place, it kills the whole chain? Some of us aren't consistent enough in our Christian life to continue to get the exponential factor. We just one domino, one domino, one domino, one domino, one domino. And then we get one out of line and we have to start all over. No one's fascinated if I set up 6 dominoes and did it. But if I set up 1,000 that went all around the room, every one of you would be locked in on it. The truth is, for us, you got to make sure you keep your dominoes in line, because it just grows exponentially. That's significant to us. They, with blessing and worship and joy and praise. Now you look at that and you go, okay, that's the end of Luke. That's the end of the Jesus story. Jesus has ascended into heaven. That's the end of the Jesus story on earth. So what next? What happens after this if we continue the story? Well, granted, that's the end of Acts, but you can pick up the end of Luke. But if you flip over to Acts chapter 1, you get to pick up the same story in Acts chapter 1. Verse 9. We kind of pick up a little bit of the story that we just finished reading in Luke. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, it says, after Jesus had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly 2 men in white clothes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Now, it hadn't been that long ago that I preached to you and we talked about the fact that Jesus' brothers didn't believe that their brother was the Messiah. You can understand that. But it's interesting, after the resurrection and after the ascension, when they all meet together, it says that his mom was there and so were his brothers. I think it's a fascinating part of the story. But we know that the Holy Spirit was promised in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes and the ascension there happens just like it did. But then we get back to the place where we think, okay, Jesus is gone. What now? Jesus left. The ascension has happened. We read it at the end of Luke chapter 24. But then we read it again at the beginning of Acts chapter 1. Jesus left. What now? I would tell you, I think they had to think, I wish he hadn't left. But you know, his leaving was a prerequisite for his coming. If you don't leave, you can't come home. Now, I enjoy traveling. I like to go away. But there's just something special about coming home. When I lived in Odessa, that was the first place that I lived that we really had an airport that was really close and that we used pretty regular. Our churches, of course, if you can imagine living in Odessa, Texas, if you're going to go anywhere, you need to fly from Odessa, Texas. You don't need to drive anywhere from there. And I got to tell you, I enjoyed the trips that I got to make there with our church and with our staff and with missions and different things. But I got to tell you, there was always something fun. I can see it in my mind's eye even now when I would return to the airport from having been gone, it doesn't matter, a day or two or a week and a half on a mission trip. Everybody at the Odessa airport comes out and comes down one set of escalators. It's the only way out. It's a set of steps that runs beside them. And always when I'd turn to those escalators right there, I'd look because Christy and Jansen Will would a lot of times be standing right at the bottom of those escalators. Now, I got to tell you, I didn't like going away so much and leaving them, but I got to tell you, I sure liked coming. I sure liked coming home. And I got to tell you, for Jesus, I don't think they wanted Jesus to leave, but if Jesus doesn't leave, Jesus can't come back the second time. Now, that's what we're all waiting for, amen? But I also got to tell you this, if Jesus doesn't leave, the Holy Spirit doesn't come. That's significant to us. It's hugely significant to us that Jesus leaves so that the Holy Spirit can come. Look what it says in verse 12. It says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. Why would they return to Jerusalem? Why would they go back there? Look what it says next. It says, because in verse 14, that they were continually united in prayer. Now, I think all three of those words are significant. Continually is significant. United is significant. And prayer is significant. When you think about the fact that Jesus was crucified and Jesus was resurrected, and then Jesus ascended into heaven, what next? What did they do? They returned to Jerusalem for what? To pray. This won't surprise you, but you know what I think our next step is? After Pack the House, after Easter, after revival, I think our next step is to be united continually in prayer. Because it's when we do that that then God does other amazing things. In the world of mathematics, there's linear mathematics and there's exponential mathematics. Linear mathematics says 2 plus 2 is 4. But exponential mathematics, like 4 squared. Linear, 4 plus 4 is 8, but 4 squared is not 8, it's 16. If you take 30 linear steps from where you are, you'll be 90 feet from where you are. If you take linear steps. But if you would take exponential steps, in 30 exponential steps, you will have circled the earth 26 times. I wonder how many of us, our spiritual maturity is linear. It's just step by step by step by step. And we're consistent, but it's just linear. You know what I think changes our spiritual maturity from being linear to being exponential? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the multiplying factor. Without the Holy Spirit, hey, we just walk linear. We continue to progress. We read our Bible and do the things that we're supposed to do. But when we let the Holy Spirit get involved in our lives, then our spiritual maturity is exponential. It's kind of like spirituality on steroids. Most of us just live on spiritual vitamins as opposed to spiritual steroids. And the key ingredient is the Holy Spirit. And how do we get the Holy Spirit? The Bible is very plain. Apart from me, you can do. Let's try that again. Apart from me, you can do. But do we really believe that? Most of us really don't. Most of us believe the Bible should say, apart from me, you just can't do as much. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, apart from me, you can do nothing. When Jesus ascended, that's one of the great happenings in all of Christendom, in all of history, because then it allowed for the Holy Spirit to come and live in each one of us so that now we don't have to operate linear, but can operate exponential. How is it we get to do that? Ask. Ask and you shall receive. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. It says continually, kind of back to the dominoes again. You got to be continual in it. If you don't, you start over every day. You know, there's a difference in being 20 years old and being 1 year old 20 times. For us, when we start putting those together and connecting the dots, it makes all the difference in the world. But when you miss a day, I don't know if you have to start back over at go and if you don't collect your $200. But I know this, when we miss a day, it always costs us. Whether that's a day of worship, whether that's a day of devotion, whether that's a day of quiet time, a day of prayer, a day of reading our scripture. The consistency is really the key in what we do. And then the united, it says continually united. Hey, you have things that you're praying about, I have no clue you're praying about. I got things I'm praying about, you have no clue I'm praying about. But when we can be united in prayer, I believe it just makes a difference and God listens even closer. But then really the key is prayer. You know what the bad part of it is for prayer? It's not really that exciting. Prayer just really isn't that exciting. This week on Thursday was the National Day of Prayer. We all think that's important, don't we? We all amen it, don't we? But when our town met at the gazebo at noon to pray, there were 14 of us there. That's not a knock. I know some of you are working, some of you are busy, some of you are out of town. And let's just be honest, prayer just really isn't that exciting. On Tuesday night, we have a prayer time here. I got to tell you, it's not one of the most exciting things that we do all week long. It's not one of the most exciting things on our church calendar. But I'm going to tell you, it is the one vital thing on our church calendar. It's the one essential, because it's through our prayer that we get to ask God to do anything that we need for Him to do in our lives, because apart from Him, we got no shot. It's not the most entertaining thing we do, but it is the most influential thing we do. I got to tell you, the other day at the gazebo, there were only 14 of us there, but it was a blessing. How many of you know Brother Adams? Oh, that was worth it. They gave him the microphone and just turned him loose praying. Now that was exciting. You ever meet those people that when they pray, it is exciting? I want to be that kind of guy. I'd like to be that kind of guy. I hope that's your desire. But it's through doing it over and over and being consistent in it. But I want you to catch this. It says they all went back to Jerusalem and they prayed. And these were continually united in prayer, along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And that's in verse 14 of chapter 1. Look what happens in chapter 2, verse 1, Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches his first sermon ever, and 3,000 people get saved. I don't think it was because of Peter. I think it was because of prayer. Prayer isn't the most exciting thing we do, but it is the most influential thing we do. What is needed most in our world today? A working of the Holy Spirit. The fact is, we prayed for revival. But really what revival is for the Holy Spirit to do a work in the lives of people who know Christ as their Lord and Savior already. We could use that among the Christians of the 21st century. We could use a moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But for the people who don't know Christ, they could use a moving of the Holy Spirit in their life too. That's called salvation. That really is what we need in our world today, revival and salvation. You know how both of those happen? Activity of the Holy Spirit. How does that happen? Prayer. You see, it's really not rocket science. It's really pretty simple. The great thing is when you go to the Lord in prayer, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what I need. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what we need as individuals, as families, as a church, as a nation, as humans. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what a lost person needs. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what a disciple needs. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what a rebellious Christian needs. So my question is this morning, would you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Would you be brave and courageous enough to pray that prayer and believe that apart from Him, you really can do nothing? But with Him, you can do everything He has designed and created you to do. It's a pretty bold and courageous prayer to ask the Holy Spirit to work in your life in a way that God can use you. What now? After Easter, after revival, after Pack the House, same as it was before Easter and revival and Pack the House. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. That's what we need more than any other thing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for each of us here this morning that You'd give us the courage to be faithful to whatever You've spoken to us, for those areas in our lives, dear Lord, that we need to repent, for those areas in our lives that we need to have forgiveness. Lord, for those of us here this morning that maybe don't know You as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that we just trust You, like Ron said. Because no matter how much intellect or wisdom we have, it all comes down to faith, that the substance is trust. Lord, whether it's salvation we need this morning, or repentance, or revival, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in the life of each individual here. And that we would be faithful to what You've called us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand with me this morning, Alex and Drew will be down here at the front. I will be as well. If we can pray with you about what the Holy Spirit has led you to do this morning, we'd love to. If you just need to come and pray yourself, you be faithful to what God leads you to do this morning. Because it's through prayer that the Holy Spirit works. And it's through the Holy Spirit working that the gospel really comes alive in our lives. Josh.
Unravel me with the melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my
Thank you for being faithful this morning. Go ahead and be seated there.
Good morning. My name is Alex Castellanos, and I'm our preschool and children's pastor here at First Baptist Church Manila. I've got your announcements for you, so here they come. The first up is a few save the dates. We have SWAT June 3rd through the 7th. You set that time aside, get ready to serve. Our Hooked Summer Wednesday series starts June 26th. It's going to be an awesome time learning about bringing people to Jesus. And our third save the date for you is Christmas Eve service. That's right, December 24th. Mark your calendars. Be here for our Christmas Eve service. Next up is Marriage Night. It's happening May 17th at 7 p.m. You can get your tickets at the corner. And remember, cash and card are accepted there. Oh, but wait, it's only $20 per couple. So you get your tickets. There's only two more weeks to sign up. So get your tickets today. For all of you high schoolers out there, you guys have an end of the school year bonfire happening on May 19th at 9 p.m. You guys are going to meet here at the church and head to the destination for the bonfire. It's going to be awesome. For all of you fourth and fifth graders out there, we have our He is Greater Leadership Retreat happening on May 29th through the 30th. We're going to go see a Frisco Rough Riders game. We're going to hit up an arcade, and the night before, we're going to spend the night here at the church, all while learning what it looks like to be a leader. Parents, remember, the last day to sign up for that is May 19th, and the cost is $40. High school and middle school, Falls Creek is approaching quickly. It's going to be June 17th through the 22nd, and your sign-up party for Falls Creek is May 15th. At 6 p.m. You don't want to miss that sign-up party because there's limited spots and 20 people have already signed up for Falls Creek. $125 is going to get you there. Make sure you're at the sign-up party May 15th. Once again, my name is Alex and I'll see you at the dessert auction.
All right, lots of things going on. I hope you got a bulletin on your way in. If you didn't, grab one on the way out. But there's a lot of things happening as we finish up the school year and head into summertime. It's hard to imagine that May is here. I can't believe May is already here, and it won't be but just a little bit. Bad news, it'll be August, and school will be starting right back. But the guys got some great things planned for us this summer. A couple things real quick to take care of. Number one, if you're on the property committee, we have a meeting on May the 19th, but real quickly after the worship service this morning, if the property committee would meet right over here, we've got a quick thing that we need to take care of. Won't take but just a couple, 3 minutes, but as you can see, we broke ground this last week on our new building over there, and we've got a couple things we need to just make sure we nail down, make sure we're all on the same page. So as soon as the worship service is over this morning, before you head to Sunday school, if y'all will meet right over here, Jay Porter, our chairman, would like to meet with you just to get you up to date, make sure we're all on the same page with those. I do have something I'd like to show you. We told you about it a couple of weeks ago, but it's a new thing for us. Our new website that we have up and running, as you just kind of scroll down, it gives you three or four major things when you come onto it there. But if we can kind of scroll up, tell you about our prayer ministry, there's places where you can leave a prayer request right online. There's places that you can go online and check for people who left prayer requests and say, hey, I've prayed for this, and here's what we're praying for you, those kind of things. But you can see, will it scroll up? Can we go? Maybe. There it goes. Just different places where you can see. It tells you what to expect, who we are, what time we meet. Tell you all the events. The calendar on there is spectacular. So I just say to you, if you got questions about something that you hear announced or something that you see in the bulletin or something that's coming up, go to the website, fbcmedill.org. You can click on the website, and it'll tell you all about the calendar, the different things. It'll tell you times and dates and deadlines and all of the things that go with it. But really a neat website. We're excited to have that up and running. I hope that'll be beneficial to you. Just give you another way to find out more what's going on and to be involved in the things that are happening. As Alex said this morning, hey, don't miss out on the dessert auction this afternoon. That happens right after Sunday school at 11:30, 11:45. When you get out, come on over to the fellowship hall. We'll have lunch ready for you. And then about noon, we'll get kicked off with our dessert auction. It's going to be a great time for that. All of the desserts, the money that's raised today, will go to our iMission account to help us be able to pay for mission trips and different mission things like SWAT and all the things that we do throughout the year as far as helping people to know the gospel. I will tell you this. One of the things that we've done last year, we tried it. It worked great, so we're going to do it again this year. Sometimes our desserts get pretty expensive, and so we wanted everybody to have an opportunity to be a part. And so one of the things we did last year, we've got some people this year that have made cakes for us to auction, but we've also got some cakes we're going to raffle. And so you can buy one ticket for $5, or you can buy three tickets for $10, and we'll raffle those desserts off. And one of the things that's neat about it, if you buy a raffle ticket, we've got cookies and cupcakes that you get along with that so that everybody gets a chance to be a part. So I hope that every one of you after Sunday school will come over and be a part of that. We'll have it done probably around 1 o'clock, and that way you won't have to invest too much of your time this afternoon. We'll have you done by the time you'd normally be done at the restaurant. And not only is it free, it's a great time and great dessert. So I hope each one of you will join us for that over in the fellowship hall as soon as Sunday school is over this morning. If you remember, last week we did have a revival. On Wednesday night, things got a little hairy. I had thought I would say to you this morning, how many of you were at revival every night last week? But I got to tell you, those of you that were there every night, you really did good. Wednesday night was a little wild and crazy, but we had a great time of worship. We just met over in the fellowship hall, and we decided we'd stay in where we didn't have to run across the street. But we had a great time over there. I know there were a number of you that on Wednesday night we were going to give an offering to Tobin. If that was you and you had planned on doing it on Wednesday night and you hadn't done it on Sunday night, the other time that we had an opportunity thinking you'd do it on Wednesday, if you wanted to, catch me this morning. And I'll be more than happy to take those, and we'll get those to Tobin. But if you had planned on doing that on Wednesday night, and then with just the service and the weather and the way everything worked out, you didn't get to, catch me, and we'll take care of that. Don't forget about marriage night. I would tell you this, we charge our phones every night, right? Most of us do, all right? We all put gas in our car over and over and over because we want it to work. We want our phone to be charged, and we want our car to start. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to our marriage, it's amazing that we feel like we should put gas in at one time on the night we're married, and we just expect it to operate and run forever and to work well. I want to encourage you. If you are struggling in marriage or know someone that's struggling in marriage, make plans to be a part of the marriage night on May the 17th. It's going to be a really, really great night with Lee and Leslie Parrott and with Francis and Lisa Chan and Michael Jr. We're going to do it right here in our service. It'll be simulcast from Dallas, but it'll be a spectacular night. The cost of it's $20. I would tell you, if you're one that your marriage is doing well, you still need to charge it. You still got to put gas in it. I'd encourage you, make sure on the way out this morning at the corner, buy your tickets, make plans to be a part of the marriage night. I think it's going to be a special, special night for each one of us. It's great to have you worship with us. I look out this morning and see several new faces out there. Thanks for being a guest of ours and being part of our first family today. I'm going to be out in the foyer. I'd love to get a chance to meet you and put a face with a name and answer any questions that you might have about First Baptist Church in the process of being here this morning. Anywhere I can help you in that process, I certainly would like to and would be happy to. Tony McDermott, would you pray and close us out this morning, please, sir?